I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, media critic Eric Dagans, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and NPR's political editor Ken Rudin. Welcome, everybody. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas, what's up? How we doing?
Jimmy.
Good,
what's
man.
What's happening?
Oh, man, you know what? For reasons that, I don't know, elude me, having spent so much time in an undisclosed location, Dick Cheney is out and about making up for lost time by right. commenting at every opportunity. Michelle, we got some tape. Is that right?
We have an abundance of tape.
Of course we do.
As you might imagine, I thought we would play for you. This is former Vice President Dick Cheney on Face the Nation just this past Sunday, and he's, of course, commenting on that. What we talked about last week, that whole Rush Limbaugh, Colin Powell kerfuffle. And this is Dick Cheney's take on it. Here it is.
Rush Limbaugh said the other day that the party probably be better off if Colin Powell left and just became a Democrat. Colin Powell said Republicans would be better off if they didn't have Rush Limbaugh out speaking for him. Where do you come down?
Well, if I had to choose in terms of being a Republican, I'd go with Rush Limbaugh, I think. I think my take on it was Colin had already left the party. I didn't know he was still a Republican.
Holy mackerel.
Homeboy,
thanks, Michelle. Homeboy is on Face the Nation. He going hard at Colin Powell. Special right. K. You know, is it sour grapes or is there something to his criticism?
Well, it's both, I think. Obviously, the moment that Barack Obama became president, there was obviously a repudiation of the Bush administration and their interrogation techniques, shall we say. And, of course, Dick Cheney took it to heart because he was perhaps more responsible for that policy than anybody else, perhaps even more so than the former president of the United States. So he has been on every talk show possible. I don't know about he hasn't been on Tell Me More yet, but it's early. But he's out there, and he's just saying, look, we may have done X, Y, or Z, but there's not been an attack on this soil since 9/11, and therefore it works. I mean, that's a kind of a simplistic way of getting from A to B, but that's what he's been saying.
But here's what's puzzling to me about this, is that he left office with abysmal approval ratings.
Yeah, but it was still in positive numbers. Now it's minus.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, it's the last numbers I saw, they said 63% of those surveyed viewed him unfavorably. So it just seems odd to me that you're standard bearer for the party would be somebody who
Oh, he's always been popular. This is Ruben. Right. He's always been popular with the party, though. And it's always sort of bewildered me that you know he's so unpopular. The mainstream, I get that. But he's still popular with the faithful. There are folks in the Republican faithful who thought that George Bush was too much of a moderate, too much of a squish on a lot of issues, and they like Cheney's stance. I don't fault Cheney for speaking his mind. He really does feel like Obama's policies have made the country less safe. What I fault Cheney for is this business about Powell. I mean, the tent should be big enough so that Colin Powell can endorse someone like Barack Obama for president and still remain a Republican. You know, I mean, there should be room for that, just like Reagan Democrats went over and voted for Reagan, but they didn't stop being Democrats. And so I think his critique of Powell was way off the mark, but let the man speak up if he wants to.
Well, you know, and this is Eric. I would step
go ahead,
in
Dougie.
And say, number one, it does seem like Dick Cheney is sort of the embodiment of what the Republican Party is struggling with right now. This turn towards traditional and very extremist spokespeople who are pushing out the moderates. And I think there's an open question about whether or not that's the key to success. And I'm just not sure that the GOP wants its future to be hung on the likes of Dick Cheney and Rush Limbaugh.
I mean, I think you can disagree with Cheney, but I really do think he's one of the few people out there, unlike House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, by the way, who on the torture issue has a different story every 6 minutes.
But here's the difficulty. The difficulty, Ruben, is that I take your point on Nancy Pelosi's sort of memory losses are on this issue. On the other hand, the issue with the public with Dick Cheney is that they do not believe he is truthful. They believe that he manipulated intelligence on crucial issues in order to advance his ideological agenda. And so for that reason, his own motivations aside, that's why I find it curious about whether this is actually helpful to the Republicans because he is not a standard bearer for that. He may be ideologically pure, but is he a person that many people in the public find credible? And I'm not sure they do. In fact, I don't think that they do. That's why I find it puzzling that he's taken such a high profile position.
You know what, Michelle, I don't know if it matters whether he's credible or not, because I think whoever controls the criticism controls the timbre and the beat of what's being said.
Well, this
That's
is curious because his daughter, Liz Cheney, she's a former State Department official, says that she believes, she's quoted in the Washington Post on Thursday, saying that, he's only speaking up because he believes he's right, and he does believe that he is having an impact on the debate. And evidence of that is the fact that President Obama did change his mind about whether to release the photos of the detainees. And I'm curious to know what you all think about that.
You know what? I've been saying this since he took the oath, you know, and shortly thereafter. My man just flips. He flips like John Kerry at the House of Pancakes, man. And when a man, just real talk. You know, when a man gives his word that, look, you know, this is how it's going to be. This is how we're going to roll. And then like 2 weeks or not, maybe 24 hours later, well, I have a special announcement. You know, we're not rolling that way. It makes all those cats with the, you know, change we can believe in and hope posters. You know,
What about the substance of the decision? I mean, is your standard for leadership whether you never change your mind about something that you might have been wrong about to begin with? I mean, I find it really interesting that people who, forgive me, I'm not being mean. Actually, I am being a little mean. I'm intending to be a little mean. Is that people who really aren't in charge of anything use this term flip-flop so cavalierly as if that's the standard for leadership, that you never change your mind about something.
Just be right more than you're wrong.
Don't
be so wrong right out the gate. I mean, what's
well,
up?
I mean, my question, here is, you know, this photo thing, he changed his mind. What major policies are we talking about that sort of constitute some sort of rollback on the change that we can believe in? Argument?
I'll give you one. I'll give you immigration.
Go ahead, Ruben.
On immigration, he and the administration collectively have been all over the map. In a 124-hour period a month ago, Cecilia Munoz, his chief of intergovernmental affairs in the White House, came forward in the New York Times article, said, we're going to do it this year. And before the evening was out, CNN was quoting White House spokespeople saying, no, that's not true. We're not going to do it this year. The economy has to come first. 24-hour period.
That's a question of tactics. That's not a policy decision. That's a question of tactics. That's not a policy change.
It's a flip-flop over it's in a 24-hour period. Are you doing it or not doing it? Obama's really simple. He wants to be loved. He wants the maximum amount of support, and he wants to be popular across the board. The way to do that is promise everything to everybody. So when he promises one thing and it doesn't necessarily work out, he goes to another group and promises
something else.
And what
are you going to do if he advances the bill and it fails because you told him to? What are you going to say then?
No, I'm not talking about me telling him to. I mean, he won two-thirds of the Latino vote.
To avoid disappointing Ruben.
He doesn't need me to tell him that he won two-thirds of the Latino vote and he promised to deliver on this immigration reform. If he doesn't want to, fine, but don't be teasing me. Don't be teasing me and say you're going to do it and then don't do it. I mean, make up your mind.
We're not addressing the argument that Obama came up with, and that is that according to military leaders and his military advisors, there would be terrible repercussions against U.S. troops. Remember, we have U.S. troops in Muslim countries. That's the Dick Cheney argument. Which is scary. Exactly.
It's the Dick Cheney argument. But it's the same argument Dick Cheney made months ago, and Democrats discounted it, and now they're saying the same thing.
Well, what about the release of photos as a violation of the Geneva Convention, displaying prisoners for purposes other than their identification is a violation of the convention.
Abu Ghraib, what happened during Abu Ghraib?
Those photos were leaked. Those photos were leaked by whistleblowers.
Either it's full disclosure or it's not. Either we're opening up the White House to transparency, it's a new day, or sometime we're going to open up the White House to transparency.
But you know, the courts are going to agree with them.
The ACLU is hot. The ACLU is hot on the president on this. They are angry at the president, and with good reason. They said, you know, you were supposed to be about transparency. We want our votes back. Right. And I think that the thing that's interesting is that the left is going after the president, and I think that's great. When the right goes after a conservative, I think it's great. Enough of this blue and red business where you always got to go in lockstep with your guy.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Ken Rudin, Eric Dagans, and Ruben Navarrete. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. And we got yet still more pressing news on pictures. This breaking. Miss California, Carrie Prejean, gets to keep her crown. I don't know how that happened, but the Trump decided that, you know what, she gets to keep it. I'm wondering if she should have divulged the existence of all these semi-nude, like quarter-nude pictures.
Well, why don't you tell people what you're talking about for people who haven't followed this story as closely as you evidently have? Because
we're not a visual medium.
Only in the interest
of
journalism.
We're not a visual medium. But yo, I guess this Miss California, but behind her goofball comments, somebody went and got papers on her. I mean, evidently she took some not so well.
Let me help Jimmy out here.
Yeah, what
Miss California, at the Miss USA pageant, which I know some of you watch closely, and I want to say who although I think we know, made some in response to a question by one of the judges, Perez Hilton, came out in opposition to same-sex marriage, for which this same judge pilloried her on his blog. She was a runner-up, and then it emerged that there were some semi-nude photos of her, and there was a question about whether or not this was kind of consistent with her, you know, moral position or her position as a spokesperson. And we have some tape of her talking about this. I mean, she feels, I think, that she has been targeted because of her stance in opposition to same-sex marriage. And this is what she said at this press conference in New York on Tuesday. Here it is.
Drop it.
While I am not the most vocal proponent of traditional marriage, it appears by my singular response, I have become the most visible. I am proud to be an American. I'm proud of the freedoms we enjoy because of the brave men and women serving this great country and who have served. My grandfather served under General Patton during World War II and is someone I admire greatly. He never spoke about the Battle of the Bulge that he participated in as a rifleman or the honorary medals he received because of his bravery. But he did speak about the freedoms he fought for and taught me to never back down and never let anyone take those freedoms away from you.
Oy,
well, there you have it.
Whoa.
I'm crying already.
Is it fair, though?
Can I just go on record and saying that I am actually against beauty pageants of all kinds. They are sexist. They objectify. That said, this woman should have lost her crown.
But it's worse.
Period.
It's worse than that.
She should have. Why?
Because she didn't follow the rules. I mean, this is about the rules at the end of the day. I mean, the rules say you disclose whether or not you got these pictures out there. She said, oops, I forgot I had these pictures out there. How you forget you had these pictures out there? You're half naked. You forgot you had half naked pictures out there?
You're missing the most.
No, she did not play by the rules. Wow. Therefore, if you do not play by the rules, then you got to go.
But you're missing the most important point, because right after she talked about naked pictures, she talked about Battle of the Bulge. And I thought that was a bad
taste. Where's my rim shot? What I will say here is that it looks to me like Donald Trump is running the Miss USA pageant the same way he's running Celebrity Apprentice, which is whatever Donald Trump decides is what goes. I was amazed at the amount of time that news channels gave this. At one point during this news conference where he announced that she was keeping her crown, all the three major cable news channels were covering it for 20 minutes. I cannot believe the amount of time we are spending on this. But here's the bottom line. You know, she did promise some things. She promised she would divulge these, you know, if she had done any questionable pictures. She didn't tell the pageant officials. She was blowing off some of the duties associated with her job. And for a lot of reasons, she crossed the line where she should have lost her crown. But it's Trump's gig. It's his contest. And he obviously decided to step in and save her because the best thing you can do when you're an employee of Donald Trump is create more publicity for Donald Trump.
I got.
And when you look at the pictures, they don't look any worse than her time in the swimsuit competition. So what are we talking about?
Those pictures do look like an underwear ad. I mean, those are ads. You could see that in a women's magazine. Yeah.
Somebody said, "Oh, she's naked from the back." I mean, come on, her back is
naked.
Can I ask about Eric's point, though?
I applaud Donald Trump. He did the right thing. She should not have lost her crown. This was always about an end. This was all. Yeah, really, the difference of opinion. It was always about Perez Hilton. In a very unfair sandbagging of a question, trying to elicit one particular response. And then we've gotten to this point somehow in this country where there is only one point of view. I pipe up and say, she shouldn't have lost her crown. And your response is, what, really? Yeah, there are different points of view, okay? And she's allowed to have a different point of view than Perez Hilton. He was out of line. That blogger was out of line when he went online later and basically called her all these names and said basically she had answered the question incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So basically we've gotten to a point that when you ask a question on abortion, gun control, capital punishment, gay marriage, there is only one answer. And if you don't give that answer, you've answered incorrectly.
And Donald Trump said that she had the same opinion on same-sex marriage as President Obama did, and there's some truth to that. But the way she went too far, then she began speaking to these so-called pro-family groups that became very political, and that's exactly what the pageant didn't want. It's not that her views on same-sex marriage was anathema to what the contest was all about. She just became too political for the people who were running the contest.
I don't know why we had beauty pageants in the first place. I suspect, which I said from Jump Street, that this is all about Trump shopping for his next wife. That's all it's about.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
It is curious, though, that we're talking about this as long as we are. It just is interesting to me that the point that Eric made fascinates me, the fact that all three networks are carrying this. Did anybody even watch that pageant? I mean, I know I'm giving you the business about it, but
no.
I know did any. I bet you not one of you watched that pageant.
No, I was doing the finals, NBA finals.
Who cares? Yeah, exactly. So it's curious to me that this has such a hold on our
I was playing
conversation.
The game.
Yes, exactly.
Trump knows how to push buttons.
Yeah,
I mean that's the bottom line.
And speaking of pushing buttons,
yeah, we got to push the button on the show. So thanks so much, everybody, for coming to the shop, and I have to now kick it over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from San Diego. Eric Dagans is a television and media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. He joined us from St. Petersburg, Florida. And Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor, our political junkie. He joined us from our studios in Washington. Gentlemen, thank you all so much.
Yep.
Thank you.
I now have a new understanding of torture.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Brechton Booker, Monica Evstatieva, Jasmine Garst, Irva Gunja, Lee Hill, Douglas Hopper, Arjun Hutchins, Jennifer Longmire, and Eamon Malone. Our planning editor is Louise Clemens. Our line editor is Alicia Montgomery. The program is directed by Rob Sachs. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones. She had a hand from Neil Teevil this week. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior producer is Christabel Insia Boadi. Thanks, Chris, for all your help. Our executive producer is Marie Nelson with help from Tashima Walker. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more on Monday.